Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SFC Energy AG Q3 Results 2018 conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone keypad for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Peter Podesser, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Kai. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today. Together with my colleague, Gerhard Ehninger, we will be happy to lead you through our nine-month results as well as the previous quarter's results. As usual, we will start off with some of the highlights, go into the details of the results, as well as close out the session here with a Q&A part. If we start off and look at it, I think we can say that we are continuing on our growth path, and we also conserve our operational profitability which we reached beginning of the year. If we look into the consolidated sales, we see sales rising by about 12.5% from 39.4 million last year's nine-month period to about 44.3 million this year. An improvement of the operational profitability, especially underlying EBITDA, by 2 million to approximately +2 million. Gross margin improvement to 33.1% from 30.3% in the previous year's nine months. It is also worthwhile mentioning and a highlight that we see very active market conditions in our oil and gas segment with a record order intake here for the segment. Alone in quarter three, we booked about 12 million new orders, which brought the total intake for the nine months up to 29 million order intake. Altogether contributing to a group's order backlog increase by about 29% to 17.3 million backlog as of end of September. Prior year's backlog in comparison, 13.4 million. Putting this together and looking at the year-end, we are, I'd say, in the midst of a very strong fourth quarter of the year. Based on the backlog just mentioned before, we confidently confirm the outlook given before, seeing a revenue of between 60 million and 64 million, as well as a significantly improved underlying profitability on EBIT and EBITDA level as the upcoming and achievable result for the year 2018. As we all know, the business is not ending before Christmas, so I think also looking into the upcoming year, we see a proper and favorable environment here going into 2019. Let me now start off with some of the details. Well, we do not want to hide this and hold this back. We were expecting slightly higher sales momentum in the third quarter, but there were two elements impacting the quarter-to-quarter growth. We ended up with a quarter-to-quarter growth of roughly above 2%, while seasonality, a usual factor around this time of the year, means within the third quarter, but more so we were impacted by a postponement of a shipment of a defense and security order in the volume of about 1.2 million euros of revenue. In the meantime, this is shipped, but naturally, that is an impacting factor here on the Q3 growth. If we look at the macro environment, in all our segments we see a refreshed interest in clean, reliable and efficient energy sources. End users, government organizations are looking for sustainable alternatives to established energy generation sources here, not only in the area of off-grid, but also for backup solutions. And naturally, this is kind of a tailwind we are experiencing here since, I would say, approximately a year. And if we break it down into our segments, we can clearly see it in sustained growth in oil and gas, industrial, and especially in the defense and security segments. Let me now lead you through the details of the market and business development in the individual segment. As mentioned before, overall growth here, 12.5% year on year for the group. In the oil and gas segment, we show modest growth here on euro basis of above 2%, but if we net out the euro and Canadian dollar exchange rate on an operational and local level, we see a good 7.7% of growth here on Canadian dollar basis. And I mentioned before also the momentum, especially on the booking side in Q3, which will translate into a good and active year end here in this segment. First 9 months, growth in all product areas of our oil and gas business, particularly positive the development here of our EFOY-based fuel cell business with existing customers, but more so also with new customers where we could broaden our customer base significantly. And as reported before and mentioned before, we also booked our first million Canadian dollar EFOY project here within the third quarter of the year. Going into the year end, we also started our initiative of regional rollout here. After the crisis of the years 2015 and 16, the main emphasis was in rebuilding and expanding our sales and service network here, especially in the Western Canadian markets. This bears fruit, and we see this here with better market coverage and broadening of customer base. But we also started now the regional expansion in the U.S., which had been postponed due to the economic environment, especially in the year 2016. We have first partners already under contract and initial orders in also from U.S. oil and gas customers. Coming to the industrial part of this, the business, again, stable, I would call it robust growth here, 6.6% year on year. Also here, PBF's business is broadening here in terms of applications, but also customer base. We introduced this new product strategy of a semi-standardized modular product platform for specific industries, one of them being also the laser industry. And we started this about 18 months ago, and we see now significant progress here. Only in the last couple of months, we received prototype first series orders, contracts from the laser industry in the value of approximately 1.9 million euros. Not so much contributing now to the 2018 figures, but this is a good basis and the foundation for further growth and momentum in 2019. As of now, right today, we are entering into one of the biggest electronic fairs here in Munich. And the main emphasis here is also regional rollout of the business and expansion for 2019 and 2020. Defense and security, by far fastest growth, I would say an outstanding growth here, where sales climbed from approximately 2 million up to 6.4 million. We more than tripled the business. But at the same time, it is important to see that this is not only with the national defense customer we are having and we are growing here. It is almost equally shared between national and international business with all our different product families we are having. Portable power here for German forces, we mentioned this earlier in the year, but also shipments now of portable as well as stationary power systems here to India as well as to UK are definitely highlights. We are seeing ongoing momentum, as you might recall from our previous presentations. Defense is a classical year-end, and I would say year-end budget-driven or household-driven business, and we are still in the midst of finalizing a number of projects here for the existing or for the running quarter as well as then for 2019. Clean energy and mobility, the only segment where we show a decline of sales here compared to last year. We are down approximately 9%, and as noted before, we were not, and I would say we were not yet able to repeat the success we had last year here in this business segment in Singapore. But at the same time, if we look further into the structure of the business, we also can show a much stronger and broader market penetration of our civilian fuel cell business, especially in the European core markets. Netting out this one-off effect here out of Singapore, we see this growing by 15.9%. And looking into the last couple of weeks of the year, it looks like the next big project in Singapore might be only due in 2019, which can leave us in a situation that we are slightly down in this segment also year-on-year basis. But at the same time, we feel that the structural development of the business is reducing our overall risk here step by step by simply broadening the basis of customers. With this, I would like to hand over to Gerhard, who will lead you through earnings and the financial positions of the business.
Thanks, Peter, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you an overview on our margin and earnings situation as well as on our balance sheet and, of course, the cash situation. Starting from 2018, we reorganized our segmentation with a better adaptation to our markets. So we have now four segments. We have defense and security, which is part of the SFC AG business. We have industry, which shows the PBF business in Holland and Romania. We have oil and gas, Simac business in Canada, plus the e-voice we sell in Canada and USA. And clean energy and mobility, also part of the SFC AG business. On revenue, in this three quarters of 2018, Peter already mentioned that the SFC group achieved sales of 44.3 million, and this is an improvement of 12.5% compared to last year's period with 39.4 million. The increase was 4.9 million, thereof SFC AG was 3.8 million, PBF is around 700K, and Simac was 400,000K. That means each of the three companies has improved his sales number. Let's have a quick look on quarter three and compare it with prior year's quarter three. The third quarter's revenue was 13.4 million, was around 2.7% higher than the year before, was 13.1 million. PBF and Cymark on a euro basis on the same level as prior year, and SFC was around 300K higher. If I would take the exchange rate out for Cymark, even Cymark would have been better by a few percent. So we have growth in all three companies and in all three quarters. Gross profit. The gross profit in the first 9 months of 2018 totaled to 14.9 million or 33.1% of sales. Previous year's figures was 11.9 million or 30.3%. So we improved around about 3% points on that. The gross profit in the third quarter amounted to 4.1 million euros, and in the year before 4 million, so both quarters have been on a 30.5% level. If we look on the margin, if we take a deeper look on the margin on the individual segments for the year-to-date figures, oil and gas, very strong, increased from 23.2% margin to 28.4%. In the first three quarters. What was the reason? We had a couple of high-margin projects in quarter one, which helped a lot, and also increased the EFOID business, which is at the moment, and it's getting more and more, 10% of Cymark's revenue, and this is the product with the highest margin in the Cymark's product portfolio. This is very helpful. We will see what will happen next year because I'm working on our tax structure. If we have an impact here, then it will only be on the margin on Cymark, but not on the group earnings. We also have to have a look on our tax rate, and of course working on that now that tax loss carry forwards in Canada are used. Industry became better. Even if we are with 29.4% or behind the 33% from prior year, but as mentioned already in the previous calls, we had this development sales in last year in 2017. This is now gone with the new platforms we have. And of course last year this was around about 250K and we're suffering a little bit on that. But I think we are on the way. The gap is getting smaller and smaller. What we finished in quarter three is the further relocation of production capacity to the plant in Cluj, Romania, as well as the downsizing of production staff in Almelo, Netherlands. As said, this was concluded at the end of quarter three. This is all paid now and done. And the focus, of course, continues on improving the margins on purchasing side, but also on the sales side. So take the list of the customers, work through it, look where we can increase the prices, and once you're at the bottom of the list, start again at the top. The gross margin in the defense and security segment improved from 46.4% to 48.2%, and in clean energy and mobility, we have a stable gross margin of 38.4%. Last year was 38.8%. Overall, the gross margin for the group has increased from 30.3% to 33.1%, and of course this plus 3% is a key element for improving of the earnings figures. Let's look on the earnings figures. EBIT underlying and EBITDA underlying, as well as EBIT and EBITDA have all been up by 1.2 million to 2.2 million compared to last year's figures. So improvement overall. The group EBITDA improved from minus 275K to plus 937K, so plus 1.2 million. The EBITDA adjusted means, except the non-recurring effects, rose from around about zero to plus 2 million, so 2 million better. The group EBIT improved from minus 1.7 million to plus 100K, so 1.8 million better on that way. the underlying EBITDA was positive. Last year we had around about minus 1 million. This year we had plus 1.2 million. So means best result here, plus 2.2 million. It should be noted that the 9 months of 2018 had underlying effects of around about 1.1 million resulting from these personal measures I mentioned at PBF is around 400K and expenses in connection with the stock appreciation rights program was 670K. Again, also here a look on quarter three, and Peter mentioned before, not 100% happy on the result. If I compare quarter three 2018 to quarter three 2017, looking on the four earning positions I mentioned before, we are around about 350K behind, but we have to consider that in prior year we had the accrual for contingency losses from rent expenses, which was fully used and reversed during financial year and especially in quarter three. This had an impact of 290K. So this is the reason for this 350K we are short compared to last year. But the good thing is that definitely we could keep our expense level like last year, even if we're talking about, and that's about the whole group, on a higher company with a higher sales level, so the orientation didn't lead to a lot of more costs. That's the good thing on that. Back on the year-to-date figures, the consolidated net loss improved from minus 2.4 million to minus 0.8 million, and of course, to have a positive figure here is one of the next targets. The earnings per share improved from minus 27 cent to minus 8 cent. The available cash and cash equivalents amounted to 5.2 million at the end of September 2018. At the end of last year of 2017, there was a 4.4 million. So even here we improved, have 800K more on the bank. The equity ratio, very important in discussions with the banks, improved from 40.2% end of 2017 to 44.2% end of September. So we have actually an equity of 17.6 million. We had 266 permanent employees end of the year 2017. We had 258. So we also increased our headcount, even considered that we lost around about 10 people in 10 heads in Almelo in Holland. The order backlog mentioned before increased from 13.4 million to 17.3 million. And I think this is one of the highest backlogs we ever had. So this is our future revenue, more or less. With this, I may hand back to Peter Podesser, who will give you a summary and an outlook on 2018, and afterwards, happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard. Well, let's look into the remaining part of 2018 and going beyond this. I think when we look back to the start of the quarter, as Gerard just mentioned, we started the quarter with a very solid order book, and at the same time we have very high what we call transactional activity. It means day-to-day business is on a very active level. So we are looking at a very positive fourth quarter. In addition to this, well, our oil and gas business and especially our defense and security business is a classical year-end business, and we are working on closing orders here as we speak on a daily basis. So with all this, with especially, let's say, those two elements, we look very confident at the year-end and confirm what we have out there as a planning on revenue as well as on profitability side. If we summarize the activity right now and where we stand right now, I think we would call it we are on a good way, but naturally we are never contented here. We see the key targets going forward for the remaining part of 2018 as well as then the start of 2019 is continuing and accelerating our growth beyond 2018 and ensuring sustainable profitability. What are the key elements for this? I think the macro environment, as mentioned, is positive. Fuel cells are back in the arena. We sometimes can read of a renaissance of fuel cells as a sustainable energy source. And, well, SFC has positioned itself as one of the leaders. And at the same time, I think we have shown that on operational level, we are the first ones that can earn more money than we spend with this kind of technology. Where is the growth coming from? We are talking here about a further regional expansion. I mentioned already the initiative started here in the U.S., especially for oil and gas. Later in the year 2019, also we are looking at the next step here for our defense and security business. Activities in Asia, we started our first partnership in China. We are seeing very active market development in Southeast Asia, predominantly Singapore, but also neighboring countries. And also our partnership in Japan yields results here driven by major events like the Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo. Our power platform, our power electronics business with a standardized product offering is taking up momentum. And moreover, on a product and R&D basis, we are looking into higher power solutions for our existing markets, but also new market segments, only to mention critical infrastructure here. With all of this, yes, we confirm the guidance of 2018. We are looking into a very dynamic end of the year, and we also expect a very dynamic start of 2019. With this, we would like to close our presentation. I hand back to Kai, and then afterwards, we would be happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We received the first question from Malte Schaumann, Warburg Research. Your line is now open, sir.
Good morning. The first question is regarding the relocation to Cluj. Are there any, what were the costs in the third quarter associated with that, and is there kind of a relief for the cost base then in the fourth quarter and the coming quarters? Or the other way around, what is then the improvement you expect from that on the gross margin level going forward?
Hello, Martin. Malte, this is Gerhard. On your question to Cluj, in total we had costs of around about 400K. This was already accrued in the first quarter, and we brought this into our underlying result. We expect a return on investment within 12 months round about. This is the calculation we have. And at least it helps us to bring our costs down in PBF in the industry segment to reach this target of 10% EBITDA level what we have.
Yeah, okay. So no further costs, just the provision you made in the first quarter.
This is all done now. It was just in quarter three, the rest of some smaller costs around 10K, something like that. But this is all paid now. The people are out. All is done.
Okay, good. And then on the gross margin, it appeared that had been pretty low in the defense business. What was behind that? If my calculation is right, I think the gross margin was below 20% in the third quarter.
me have a quick look on this on quarter three in the defense. We had a gross margin. No, the margin was much higher. This was round about at the 48% what we also had before.
Okay, I get back to you with that. That one.
And I think, Malte, still the 48, we consider this low for the defense part because it's a product mix issue. We have, let's say, higher direct sales cost also for our international business because we naturally have intermediates in there compared to our national business where we are selling direct.
Once we have a lower revenue in a segment, of course, this segment also has to take higher overheads because the overheads are pretty stable, and that's the reason why we can have some deviations in the gross margin too.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I got an error in my Excel file here. Sorry for that. Then on the macroeconomic environment, you have some exposure in the semiconductor industry and some other industrial branches. So what is your view a potential impact on your business? Is there kind of a slowdown in certain areas, or are you pretty much satisfied with the oil development?
Well, I think from the macro side, and once again, good morning, Malte, this is Peter. We have two elements here. You mentioned semiconductor. Well, naturally, let's say the electronics part and the momentum in this business right now is pondering on, I would say, call it everybody's supply chain. Part of it we could digest. Part of it we also had to simply go and increase our prices because it's simply an overall phenomenon, and also customers on our end understand this. If we look to the demand side, drivers here for us, yeah, if we look into our power electronics business, it's naturally the semiconductor, it's the analytical market that is driving demand here. Organic growth with core customers like Thermo Fisher Scientific above 20%, significant momentum in there. So far, also the outlooks we are getting here are positive. We now look into the oil and gas segment as well as the civilian fuel cell business. I think here, well, relative stability of oil price. I didn't mention this before. Actually, we see a slight weak phase. We looked the last, 10 trading days, oil price down, slightly up, down, depending on, let's say, some of the political impacting factor from OPEC decisions to, let's say, US-Iran sanctions. Overall, we see our customer base in oil and gas, they have adapted to an oil price at current or even lower levels with their cost structures. And the measurement for us is also that they do not only do sustaining investments and ongoing investments, but really new projects are realized here on a significant level. And With our fuel cell business in this segment, I think we are hitting on a point that there is significant pressure also on this industry to use clean and sustainable energy sources, and we are the ones that have established fuel cells as an energy source in the oil and gas segment for instrumentation, for measurement, for data transfer, surveillance applications, etc. And the fuel cell itself, I think, neglected for, I would say, almost 10 years. I think that the drivers here are, from a macro perspective, the pressure really for CO2 reduction on a broad level for all parts of an economy. Naturally, the drive for clean mobility solutions. And I think If you look into the last 5-6 years, a lot of fuel cell companies disappeared, and there's only a handful that is remaining in this arena. And I think with our positioning, A, in the different markets, B, with a mature product offering, we have a significant upside here in terms of taking this momentum and translate it into a dynamic business development. And that's why we are also positive on 2019 from today's point of view.
Okay, good to hear. Then on the revenue opportunity in oil and gas in the U.S., what is the size, potential size of that opportunity, maybe in a 2 to 3 year perspective? What revenues, or what is your view on that potential and that target market?
Well, I think significant upside in additional market penetration in existing geographies, talking here about Canada, but then expansion not only into the U.S. As you might recall, we started business development in Russia almost at the same time when we started it in Canada, and also there we see again momentum coming up, naturally with the limitation of the political situation and the limitation of Russian customers being able to spend hard currency on technology products. But overall, we were impacted by the crisis here, 15 and 16, and had to realize that it took us, I would say, 3 years longer than anticipated to get to the point where we are right now. Sales growth acceleration, at the end, we expect that the fuel cell part should be at least half of our oil and gas activities over time.
And that's a 4 or 5 year target?
I would say we are talking here about, I'd say, a 3, max 5 years target.
Okay.
Because maybe to be more precise, because what we do in the U.S. and what we start in the U.S. in oil and gas is a pure fuel cell play. We are going only with our own products into the U.S.
Okay, good. So basically, let's say 2 to 3 million on top each year with additional fuel cells in the oil and gas business over the next 3-4 years.
I think that's a reasonable planning here. And at the end, this is also what then drives improvement of profitability, because the product mix is going to be more based on our own product with the highest gross margins here traditionally.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Then maybe a word on defense.
Yes.
The obvious question.
Yes, that's our daily exercise here. As we all know, year is ending. Well, we saw one project shifting into Q4 already completed and shipped now, so will be recorded in the current quarter's results. On the national as well as international level, we have already closed some of the projects here for this year, reaching even into Q1 2019, and within the next 4, maximum 5 weeks, we are confident to show more closing of programs. Whether then everything will be shipped this year really depends on the actual dates of closing the opportunities. As we saw it also in previous years, well, some of it might be even slipping into a period of to mid of December, and then naturally we will not be able to ship it anymore, but then it will help us to have a good start in 2019.
Okay, so you're talking about multiple programs, so we should expect kind of some developments on the national side and also from international customers.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Okay. And then my last question, kind of a housekeeping question. Could you share the unit numbers you sold or you shipped in the third or nine-month period?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
If we don't have them here right now...
I have
now,
it here. Just have to open the file. 1 second, please. Number of EFOIs, and let me have a look on the total number, and this includes the EFOIs of all segments is 1,573.
Okay, could you give a split for the clean energy, mobility, and the defense? I don't know. I mean, defense, if you want to share that.
If I look on the former consumer business plus the former industry business for this clean energy now, this is in total 1,544.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good, thanks.
I think we will provide you with the detailed breakdown by email.
Yep, thanks.
I just prepared the detailed breakdown yesterday and... You can have this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next question we received is from Carsten von Blumenthal, First Berlin Equity Research. Your line is now open, sir.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. I would like to continue with the defense business. Malte already talked about it with you. So we have this delay, this postponement into Q4, and you mentioned that this is roughly 1.2 million in revenue. Beyond this postponement, do you expect a quarter which is similar to the previous year's quarter? Do you have a range what you could reach in sales in Q4? Could you share more, because this is of course an important driver for your Q4 business?
Yeah. Good morning, Carsten. Peter again. We went into the last quarter here with about 6.5 million already shipped. We had this postponement here of a project of about 1.2 million. We have an additional backlog of between 1 and 1.5, I would say, as of today. And we see right now a range of projects being in finalization, so that at the end, if we see, I'd say, first quarter's revenue here, I think this should be a good guideline here also for the defense part of the business, I would say, on the safe side for Q4. But at the same time, even though we might see some of it really coming in late, part of it, we have products here for immediate shipments, and well, the remaining part, if we can carry this over into the first quarter of next year, I would not see this as very harmful. But overall, looking at our planning for the year, even with the number mentioned before, I think we are in a very solid position to reach our guideline here in its mid-levels.
Yes, and when you say that Q1 could be a reasonable approximation, that would be much more than I would have expected for Q4. So it is not only the postponement that comes in, it is also other business which will probably come in Q4, and
absolutely,
and that even means that you may even top my target of a good 8 million in in revenues in the defense business, and that looks then pretty good. Overall, I think what you made clear is you had a growth dip in Q3, but the basic growth drivers are all still intact, and if we have a look into 2019 for your main businesses like industry, oil and gas, and defense, you expect solid growth. There is one segment that remains your problem child, although I think things could get better next year. Clean energy and mobility is still weak, but you mentioned in the call that you expect a larger order again from Singapore next year. Could you elaborate on a range that order could have? Is it similar to the last large order? And what are your chances to get this order? Perhaps you could talk about that a bit.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, we were also not satisfied and not happy with, let's say, what you called the growth dip. Yeah, this postponement here of one program at the end of the day actually changes a picture significantly. But overall, this whole thing, there's nothing lost. We carried it over into the running quarter, and as you mentioned before, with this we will top some of the targets here for the existing quarter and show a real positive picture here for the year-end business. On clean energy and mobility, our original assumption, and that's why we mentioned it before, was that we would catch up within the calendar year here by securing some of those bigger projects in the project pipeline, and one of it being the Singaporean project that is not a copy of last time's border protection system. It's a project that is leaned towards their traffic management system here in Singapore. At this point in time, I think it would be too far reaching to narrow it down to a revenue range, but the decision making, I think we expect at least in the first half of next year. But at the same time, we see the day-to-day business, the organic growth of the business of our civilian fuel cell business in the clean energy and mobility segment on a healthy growth path here, double-digit growth in the core markets. We are adding step-by-step new regions. We are working on higher power solutions here for our existing markets as well as new segments. And we are working here on it. I'd say this is really not singled down to the Singaporean opportunity. We are working here on a number of opportunities that will have the realistic potential to bring this back also on a significant growth path. I would not call it a problem child. I think it is a child that needs special attention at this point in time, but the measures are implemented, and dependency on a single project, on single customers, is systematically reduced. So the risk, we are reducing the risk out of a cluster, be it a customer, be it a project.
At least we try, or we're doing the same what we did in the defense business, to get more independent from one big pillar and to stand on more pillars.
Okay, that is highly appreciated, and will help you to lower volatility because of larger contracts that come in or may not come in, and I'm happy to hear that. basically, you have a very, very solid, a very high order backlog. In the recent months, order entry was also very satisfactory.
Yeah, as said before, we started the quarter with a very good backlog, and we are seeing high activity here on a day-to-day business across the segments and across the regions. So also there, naturally, with significant shipments at year end, you always have an impact on then the backlog then. But still, order entry, as we call it in on the day-to-day level, transactional, is significantly up compared to, I'd say, a period in the second quarter where we saw some soft developments, which then impacted also the backlog at mid-year negatively.
Excellent. That sounds pretty comfortable. And I thank you very much for answering my questions.
Well, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. As far as there are no further questions, I hand back to Mr. Podesser.
Well, thank you very much. With this, we again thank you very much for your time, for your interest and support for us here. And as always, please do not hesitate to get back to Gerhard or myself directly to discuss individual topics and questions. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.